The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Welcome to Stone Cold Stros. I'm Brandon Strange with Charlie Palillo and Josh Jordan. Follow them on X at Palillo and at JoshJordan975 and read their work on sportsmap.com. On today's episode, we're going to briefly re-examine the Tucker deal with the benefit of hindsight. I'm going to challenge the guys to get me excited about Nolan Arenado in Houston, and we dig into the implications of the latest Bregman reports. Gents, when we last spoke, we were still, I would say, in a state of shock. Not shock from it being shocking, just still raw and unprocessed. So now that we've had a couple days to sit on it and think on it, I want to get your thoughts post-digestion, which sounds pretty gross, but with the benefit of hindsight, do you guys feel any different about the Tucker situation than you did a couple days ago?
Post-digestion or indigestion? That really happened? Well, yes, it did. It's irrevocable. I stick with it's disappointing when, as a large market franchise, you're unwilling to pay market rate for a star player in the teeth of his prime, where you're not taking substantial risk on the back end becoming the bulk of what is left in the contract. But in the financial projections for the Astros, obviously not willing to go there. That being the case, Dana Brown did not get fleeced in the trade. In hindsight, of course he could, because Cam Smith, like many, many hyped prospects, could amount to nothing. But he's a legit quality young 21-year-old prospect. Just back in June, a first round pick, 14th overall. He better produce, because unless Hayden Wesneski is shockingly good, Wesneski and Isak Paredes for even 1 year of Kyle Tucker is a bad return.
Yeah, I feel about how I felt the other day. Not much has changed for me, Brandon. We'll see how the trade plays out. We just don't know. We got to see how these guys perform with their new teams. And we don't know what's going to happen with Tucker going forward. So a lot of the reports I read, that some execs were polled, and they felt like the Astros did a fine job of getting a decent haul for Tucker. So, you know, there's that. But, you know, proof will be in the pudding. We'll see how these guys perform, how they develop. And we'll see how the Astros do, right? Is this team going to compete this year? Are they really going to kind of go into a reset mode, or will they just kind of go back to right where they were, you know, contenders to win the division? They're just not on that short list of they could win the whole thing anymore. They're just kind of one of the many contenders now.
And at some point, that time was going to come. If it gets here sooner than maybe it needed to be, because of the financial dictate from Jim Crane, there's the disappointing part. But the Seattle Mariners are in what, season 23 of, well, maybe this can be our year to make a run. The Texas Rangers, of course, won it all. But what has their last decade been otherwise? Right? The Astros had 8 years of sustained somewhere from high quality to best in sport. One going to remain that way forever, especially when you're not going to spend at the Dodgers level, right? That's the platinum standard franchise, because they're basically bulletproof. They draft and develop well, international signings. It's a glamour market, a destination for players. And with their unlimited financial resources, right, the Dodgers are always playing the taller stack. But the Astros aren't playing a short stack. And trading Kyle Tucker before he turns 28 years old in a month, that understandably smacks fans in the face.
Yeah. With a few days to think about it, take a few breaths. I too still think that it sucks that this team won't pay their stars, so they'd find themselves devoid of them. And I'm not trying to be overly dramatic, but it is breathtaking to watch the arc of the Astros go from the architects of a dynasty to hoping that the team can compete in a junk division. And on the one hand, I've tried to rationalize myself into thinking this is just the byproduct or a byproduct of the sign-stealing punishment coming home to roost. You lost Luno. You lost four top picks. This was an eventuality, not to mention, Charlie, as you mentioned, just the life cycle of a good team. But then I remember, oh yeah, they hired James Click right after that, who pulled off some of the best trades of this run. He helped pave the way to a second title. And then Jim Crane dared him to walk after winning a championship. He set the payroll on fire with bad move after bad move, made the front office a punchline talking about backs of baseball cards, and found a way to turn fans on Jeff Bagwell. So I find myself in this strange place, like when your kid does something wrong, because you still love your kid, but you're profoundly disappointed. And that's where I'm at. Jim Crane's inarguably the best owner this city has seen in the modern era. But the back end of his ownership doesn't look nearly as fun. And for those of us that are old enough to remember the Rockets championship years, in some ways, this reminds me of Les Alexander's run as an owner. The Rockets won their two chips early in Les's ownership and then spent the rest of the time rationalizing not spending money to put a contender on the court. And that's not in any way meant to downplay Dana Brown's role here. It's just hard to expect him to do much considering the mess that he inherited and how much the mess got worse with the Hader contract. So all that said, prove me wrong, Jim. Please. Pretty pleased with sugar on top. So now to the challenge. And if you need a sign, I guess that the worm has turned used, and look no further than our focus on Nolan Arenado. With Bregman's return unlikely, the Astros are reported to have interest in Arenado. Cards are interested in moving him, but it's unclear if Arenado would waive his no trade clause to come to Houston, as Houston was not on the original reported list. The accuracy of that list, who knows? So let's get to it, guys. Get me excited about Nolan Arenado, please.
I feel like this is debate in high school or moot court in law school, where you're assigned a position to take and you have to argue it, even if at your core you don't believe it at all. But this is the assignment. So you're ordering us to enthuse you and Astros fans about a Nolan Arenado acquisition.
Yep.
I can't. And I'm going to make anyone consuming this did I just see a ghost moment where all the blood drains out of your face? Player comparison. Nolan Arenado, 2024, 578 at-bats, 39 extra base hits. That's 578 at-bats, 39 extra base hits last season. Comp player, 540 at-bats, 42 extra base hits. 540 at-bats, 42 extra base hits. And in the tip of the cap to Chevy Chase, I know there would be no math, blah, blah, blah. But Arenado, with more at-bats and fewer extra base hits, the comp player, 2023 Jose Abreu. And you want me to enthuse you over Nolan Arenado possibly coming to the Astros? I just can't. I can't even fake it.
Yeah. My deal here, Brandon, is how much of his salary are you going to have to pick up if you do this? What are you going to have to trade away? You just said you did the Tucker deal because you needed to get your farm system in a better place. And so now you're going to turn around and trade the few prospects that you have for Arenado and to pick up that salary. Jim Crane doesn't want to pay Kyle Tucker, but he wants to pay Arenado part of his salary. It just doesn't make sense to me. I think that what really hurts, it's not just Tucker, but it looks like it's going to be Tucker and Bregman that are walking out the door at the same time. And it doesn't seem like anything's coming in to truly replace these guys. So with both of them out of the lineup, it's going to be trouble. And you mentioned it. It doesn't look like he was on the list for his no trade clause. So hopefully that means he's not going to be coming to Houston. I mean, Jose Abreu, are you kidding me? That terrifies me. No thanks. I think you learned your lesson here. Just if you're going to go young, then commit to going young. Don't play it in the middle. Either you're trying to get a little younger and a little more flexible with your salary, or you're not. So this move just doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
If we were talking about going into 2015, wow, they have a shot to get Nolan Arenado? 2025 is what we're clicking toward on the calendar. And Arenado, just three seasons ago now, was third in the National League for MVP. But it can go in a hurry. 2023, he dropped off significantly, but was still a pretty good player. 2024, he was not. A 719 OPS. And another thing about Arenado, who has a viable Hall of Fame candidacy, he's not a slam dunk guy, but all the gaudy stats, when you look at the back of his baseball card, they don't fit on there. You need to go to Baseball Reference or somewhere else. Home stats, away stats. And Nolan Arenado's gaudy offensive numbers, absolutely in part a product of playing the bulk of his career in Denver. Coors Field career OPS for Nolan Arenado, 982. The stuff of legend. Everywhere but Coors Field, OPS of 795. Which is a good player, but not, oh my God, he's awesome. 795 OPS, Arenado, everywhere but Coors Field in his career. Exactly Alex Bregman's OPS over the last 5 years, when Alex Bregman has been a good player, but not one you want to move mountains for. And Arenado turns 34 very early in the season. I mean, if the Cardinals are going to pay down half of the contract, right, there's $64 million that the Cardinals are currently responsible for, because the Rockies are still paying $5 million a year for the next 2 years. So if the Astros just traded for Arenado with no conditions attached, it would be 3 years, $64 million, which would be beyond idiotic. If the Cardinals are paying half that, all right, an in decline, 34-year-old Nolan Arenado, 3 years at $32 million. That just cries out as a cheap move, and you're crossing your fingers that Arenado would be rejuvenated coming to Houston. I thought he was supposed to be rejuvenated when he went to St. Louis, where he had a bad season, then the one great season, then has fallen off. A very faint silver lining. The Astros would give up no prospect of any consequence. Right? This is straight salary dump for St. Louis. I mean, the Cardinals came out and announced, yes, we're looking to trade Nolan Arenado. Nolan Arenado, offer us anything, anything. Just take as much of the money off our hands as you can. But I would rather stick with Paredes at third base and give DeCenzo, Whitcomb, or any Welsh you want to try a platoon shot with Singleton to see if you run into someone who develops well at the major league level, rather than be chasing your tail with the well over the hill Nolan Arenado. And I feel like I should give the numbers again, but I won't. 2024 Arenado, in terms of extra base power, was worse than 2023 Jose freaking Abreu.
Let's make sure Houston's front office has the latest set of upper decks so that they have all of the recent stats. Let's talk about Bregman, because the latest report from Bob Nightingale as we record this is that the Yankees are expected to make a full court press for Alex Bregman. Look, if pushing hard for him just means a dollar over or a year more than the 6 years at $156 million, that likely means Breggy's gone, because I don't think the Astros are going to move off of those numbers. As Dana Brown himself said, there is no change in the status. We've talked about how offensively putrid the outfield projects to be. We saw the inconsistency at first base, shortstop. And now there's a question at third, because we don't know who's going to be there. If the Astros aren't going to be competitive bringing Breggy back, isn't there a case that Fromber's too valuable to hold on to at this point? If the idea is to retool and your offense is going to be that bad and you're okay with it, considering that we all agree that hope is not a plan, shouldn't you just trade Fromber and see what you can get for him?
It's a very coherent case for that. And if the Astros were in the American League East or the National League East, there'd be no debate, because the Astros would be a rotting carcass in either of those divisions, a non-factor going into the season, and they would know it. Whether they chose to announce it, they would know it. But in the American League West,
thinking, well, you know, we can hang around if Seattle doesn't upgrade and the Rangers truly were a flash in the pan. And the A's are incrementally improved, but they're the A's and the Angels are the Angels. So, you know, we have a chance to get in the tournament, winning a weak American League West again. But if you trade Fromber and suddenly the top of your rotation is Ronel Blanco, Hunter Brown, Spencer Arrighetti's number three, and then one of the injured guys are Wesneski's four and five. But if the idea is, hey, you know, we're swimming in the shallow end of the pool, Fromber as a 190-inning good starter. You know, ERA of what, 3.15 over the last 4 years? Yes, he can be soft between the ears, and playoff Fromber's been stink bomb more often than not, but he's a good pitcher, which is why he'd be very valuable on the trade market now, especially for the teams who are the runners-up in the Max Fried, Blake Snell sweepstakes. To not field offers or to aggressively market Fromber Valdez in the aftermath, oh, well, we traded Kyle Tucker. We can't part with both of them. That would be a silly outlook, but it would convey that you're punting on 2025, unless you just happen to be that big surprise team. And, you know, stuff happens. Not what you want the marketing slogan to be, but post-Bregman, post-Tucker, post-Fromber, and if the Astros wound up in the playoffs in 2025, to some extent, that would be a pretty good last laugh for Jim Gray.
They're kind of half-assed doing this thing, right? Like, there were reports that if they wanted to, they could have gone more prospect-heavy in the Tucker deal and maybe gotten a better package altogether. Maybe the team wouldn't be as good this year, but in the long term, maybe you could have gotten more value for Tucker if you were willing to do that. But those were the reports that the Astros want to contend, and that's why this trade had players in it that could help them right now. And it seems they're going that way with Fromber, where he's a big part of this. If he's in your starting rotation, I give them a really good chance to win the division. If he's not, I don't like their chances anywhere near that. You know, if they did have Fromber. Also, it's the money. They cut a lot of salary in getting Tucker out of there, not having to pay this last arbitration year for him. So they're not right up against it like they were before they traded Tucker. So maybe they feel a little more at ease, that they're a little more flush with cash here, and they feel like they can hold on to Fromber, or maybe just wait and see how the season's going. If it is going like they think and they're playing well around, you know, the trade deadline, then maybe they hold on to Fromber and make a run. Or maybe it kind of falls apart, and then you trade Fromber at the deadline and still get a package. But I get your point, Brandon. Either go all the way in here or not, and they're just kind of playing it in the middle here. So, you know, we'll see how it works out. This is Dana Brown. He's in a bad spot. Jim Crane put him in this spot because apparently no matter what year it is, you can't offer anybody more than $150 million. That's just clearly that's the line where Jim Crane's not willing to cross.
And if unwilling to go beyond 6 years, it's just inherently silly if you won't go there with 28-year-old Kyle Tucker, where 7 years takes him 28, 29, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, tag the eighth year, his age 35 season. But you at all are considering taking on Arenado going into age 34. You offered Bregman 6 years, which would take him through age 36, when Bregman's been a clearly inferior player to Kyle Tucker four consecutive seasons.
And Josh, that's going back to your point. That's my whole point. Shouldn't you just rip the Band-Aid off now? If you're not going to pay for your homegrown stars in their prime to be here, and the outlook is what the outlook is, why not just get it over with? Jump into the cold water. If Fromber pitches lights out, Cy Young level, sure, you're likely going to win your division. Maybe. I can't even say likely, considering the fact right. that still accounts for the offense has to do something. But even if he pitches lights out and the offense doesn't give you anything, you're still not really in better position. You're still in the same position where you're probably going to have to trade him. But let's say Fromber takes a step back. Well, now you don't have anything to trade. Now you're in an even worse situation because now you're not competing. You don't have anything to trade outside of Yordan, which is not going to trade Yordan. So now you're going to be stuck in an even worse version of purgatory. I'm not trying to be pessimistic. I'm just trying to be realistic about it. I just think, like, if we're going to be so pragmatic and so frugal in this market that we can't pay Kyle Tucker market value, then I just don't know why you don't rip the Band-Aid off and just go into full retool mode over the next couple of seasons. Let some of these bad junk contracts fall off the books and then see where you're at in 2026.
I think they do fairly value the streak of postseason appearances, right? Having been in eight consecutive, so you just want to write that off. But you hit on the clear and present danger of riding it into the season with Framber Valdez. Now, he has been a durable workhorse, but remember, he did miss a couple of weeks early 2024 with that kind of dead arm, tired forearm, and pitchers break down. Framber is 31 years old, and if his trade value diminishes or disappears because of performance or health issues, So they're in a tough spot, but because they're swimming more with minnows than sharks, they can try to play both sides of the hand.
Yeah, I think the concerning thing for me is you got knocked out last year because you couldn't score enough runs. And we talked about it all season long. Like, their offensive metrics were pretty good, top 10 for most of the year. But when it came to actually scoring runs, they were middle of the pack. And we saw it in the Detroit series in the playoff. They just could not score enough runs. And now you're going to take Bregman and Tucker out of that lineup? I don't see it. I would like to see, at least for this year, like, try and play Diaz a bunch at first base. I know Caratini's no world beater, but he's at least just a solid big league catcher. He's decent. You know, if you put Diaz at first and then Paredes, if he lives up to expectations at third, you still got Altuve, maybe Pena. Who knows if we see any improvement from him, but he's a decent hitting shortstop in big league baseball. Then you kind of have something there. At least it's not Singleton and who else that you're mixing around at first base. Plus, long term, I think Diaz at first base might be the good move for you, but your outfield is still going to be poor if we're being honest. So yeah, it's a problem. They're going to get worse at scoring runs, and that was their bugaboo last year. So it's hard to feel super optimistic about the way it is now. That's why I want to see some interest. Go sign another bat, Santander. Go get somebody to show that you're trying to backfill all the losses that you're sustaining.
But if you're Anthony Santander, there's been no indication at any point the Astros are really in on Christian Walker. Why are you picking Houston if the Yankees or the Mets are interested in you? Which franchise is better set up for success going forward? And, you know, as the Astros do their planning beyond 2025, we presume they're doing some planning beyond 2025, the early outlook for the free agent class after next season, oh boy, there's Vlad Guerrero Jr., and then watch that first step down. It's a doozy, both position players and pitching. So, you know, if you rein the budget in this year, get under the CBT tax threshold, so you have a reset on that. There are trade options you can always pursue, but unless you're taking on bloated contracts, unless you have the prospect capital, the deal, it's tough to make the best offer on top-end trade guys. So they're entering an interesting phase. They're not dead yet, but the pulse is not nearly as robust as we've been spoiled to have it for almost a decade now.
Indeed. And as negative as I've sounded today, I hope it's not seen as negative, just more as pragmatic and realist. We want the team to do well because it makes our content better, because we have exciting things to talk about. It's not fun talking about all the stars leaving and having the future be so uncertain here.
It's a podcast, not a pep rally.
Right.
Anybody wants nothing but lollipops and balloons, go to the dentist.
Well, I think we'll cut the podcast and the pep rally here. That's going to be it for this episode of Stone Cold Shows. If you're watching on YouTube, be sure to click like on the video. And if you listen on podcasts on places like Apple and Spotify, be sure to do us a solid and give us a 5-star rating. Charlie, Josh, and I will catch you next week, but you don't have to wait that long to get your Houston sports fix. All you have to do is subscribe to this channel, Sports Map Houston, and our sister channel, Sports Map Texans. Texans will be in the playoffs, so that'll be fun. So make sure that you're following us on that channel. We'll see you next time on this channel. And until then, go Astros.
And that's the bottom line, because Stone Cold said so.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.